So, a couple of weeks till Christmas. We made it. Woohoo! Decorations all hung up. Last night the hot chocolate was flowing. Twinkly lights everywhere. Everything is awesome. And yet the truth is, as I look around, not too many people are happy. I mean, everything's awesome. We live in a time in history that is unparalleled. It literally is, the world has never seen. And nobody seems happy. Well, and I'm glad. Now, I do hope there are some exceptions to the rule. I'm glad you're one of them. But if you look around, you just pay a little bit of attention. You can see it. It's almost everywhere. Kind of lingers just under the surface of the twinkly lights and those bright red 20% off discount coupons that you find at Walmart. You know, in the background, there's a little sadness, although at the same time, Jose Feliciano's doing Feliz Navidad, and they're, you know. Go ahead and bring that up. I'm not sure what you call this thing.
It's Christmas vacation. Yeah, anyway.
Now, what I'm referring to is this feeling that comes at Christmas time. So, I can't tell you what it's called, but it's summed up in Cousin Eddie. Okay, this is Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation. He's got a cigar, a beer, a bathrobe, and he's actually draining his toilet into the sewer from his Winnebago. This is Cousin Eddie. Cousin Eddie is the wild card in Clark Griswold's Christmas. He shows up completely unannounced a few days before Christmas. He parks this incredibly dilapidated Winnebago in their front yard, empties his toilet in the storm drain, and then he tells Clark, "Now, Clark, don't get too attached to that Winnebago. I'm taking it with me when I leave next month." Next month. What do you mean next month? See, life is full of little surprises. Life is full of interruptions. It's full of challenges. Cousin Eddie is an interruption. Cousin Eddie is a challenge. For whatever reason, though, we don't seem to expect Cousin Eddie at Christmas time. We expect him all year long, right? All year long. We're just like, but at Christmas time, that's the perfect time. That's not supposed to happen. Shouldn't Christmas be immune from these things? You'd think so, but you know, you want to know the truth? The truth is suicide prevention hotlines, crisis hotlines, are running double staffs now through the end of the year. Specifically, through Christmas. It seems like in many cases, as a child, we look forward to December 25th, and as an adult, we look forward to December 26th, and it's all over. I think we could learn something from kids. This week, I was reading about a young woman. She got caught up in one of these, I don't know what to call them, it's just a Christmas interruption, right? It's one of these, it wasn't one unplanned thing. It was a whole series of unplanned things. She was doing her best. But it's not easy to keep a good attitude when things aren't going like you expect. She's a long way from home. She's miles from her family. She's miles from her own bed. She spent a number of days on crowded roads. She's enduring the cold at night as best as she can. Money's scarce. Friends even scarcer. There comes a point when a hot meal and a warm bed would be most welcome. But for her, the prospects were grim. She missed her family. She loved them, but see, what happened was she had got hard-pressed into a decision. It's just one of those things that come up in life. She had to make a decision. And see, what happens is the closeness that they had always had as a family up to that point, it wasn't gone, but it was different. This decision affected that. Under normal circumstances, family would have been overjoyed to learn of her pregnancy. But a pregnancy before the wedding can be really challenging for a really conservative family. But that wasn't it. See, she had to come clean that the fiancé wasn't actually the father. After that, it just got really quiet. The miracle was the fiancé still married her. But it wasn't the only miracle she needed. See, she had always envisioned a traditional home birth. You know, mom holding one hand, the midwife holding the other hand, friends and family in the other room waiting to hear the baby crying. Reality, however, as it often is in life, is just a bit more bleak than the dream she had. Instead of her child being born at home like she planned, he would be born in what could best be described as a roadside cave. And instead of an experienced midwife to help deliver her baby, it would be her new husband that would bring that child into the world. And the truth is, the rest of the story you already know. See, the family and friends she planned on, they were exchanged for shepherds and angels. The homemade bassinet that waited at home was exchanged for a manger. The creator of the universe had entered his creation. But you need to understand something. It's never without trial. Even for him, there were trials. Was it worth it? You know, the truth is, I can't answer that question. I didn't walk the road that night, those days. I wasn't turned away at the end, but I think if you were to ask Mary and Joseph, I think they'd have said, yes, it was worth it. See, on this night, the hands that hung the stars grasped her finger. Little feet that walked on streets of gold patted Joseph's palm. In spite of the chaos, in spite of the challenges, in spite of the interruptions, Christ came. Scandalous pregnancy, imposed census, an untimely trip, an overcrowded inn, Christ came. In spite of a lineage that is just riddled with sin and scandal, Christ came. In spite of the darkness of men, Christ came. Though the people had forgotten their God and they had forgotten the promise he made to send Christ, Christ came. In spite of it, out of it, through all the pandemonium, Christ came. All these things, difficult beyond words. They're unpleasant and even heartbreaking in certain spots. Yet, the end result is the greatest miracle that the world has ever seen. Christ had come in spite of adversity. And she, that's Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Luke 2:7. Was the first Christmas different than Mary had planned? I'm going to have to say probably yes. I think it's also fair to say, though, it probably turned out better than she'd ever expected. Better than she could have dreamed. And that's what I want to leave you with today. That's what I want you to grasp hold of today. See, in a world of long days, short nights, hard work, double shifts, triple lattes, and quadruple the stress, Jesus is never caught off guard. Remember once we were praying. It was a morning prayer time at Pastor Mark's church. And we gather early in the morning. We just pray for whatever the Lord was doing. And we got word that the church plant in Germany, the pastor had been told he had to, you're evicted. You got to leave your house now. Apparently, there's not like 2 weeks notice. There's like pack your stuff and get out notice. And I remember thinking, holy cow, what an incredible amount of stress to add to somebody. I mean, he's trying to plant a church. And the person who owned the house he was living in was actually part of this new church. That's awkward. Everybody had an opinion. You ever notice when you're praying, everybody's got an opinion? Some said, well, you know, it's the devil attacking. And others said, well, no, it's just the pastor didn't read the lease. And I said, well, it's a cultural thing. And everybody has a solution. As we begin to pray, some were praying for the devil to be bound, and others were praying for grace to come for the person who had evicted them, and praying for the church, and praying for the pastor, and of course his wife, and all. Everybody was praying. At that moment, the Lord spoke to me, and he said this. He said, I know you're surprised. I'm not. I don't know how to add words to that. He was not surprised. Did not catch him off guard. What's going on in your life today, is not caught. He's not going, holy cow, I did not see this coming. That would preclude him from actually being God. You understand that? Now, my first inclination was to be upset that he knew this was coming. Didn't warn anybody. But that wasn't what was rising up in me. What was rising up in me was a logical thought process. If in fact he knew this was coming, it means he's already run through every possible solution. He has run through the gambit. Well, if this happens, this and then this and this, and he's run through them all. He's already picked the best, and it's already implemented. Wow. His plan was already in motion before I knew there was a problem. That's the nature of the God we serve. I have to tell you, it was beyond comforting for me. It was beyond comforting. Now, I didn't know where they were going to spend the night that night, but I knew they would. And I knew it was going to be okay. I didn't know what the point A to B looked like, what that road looked like. It didn't matter. I just knew they got there. And now as I begin to pray, I can begin to pray in faith, and I'm no longer praying my prescription on somebody. You understand? We diagnose the problem. We put together a prescription. We start praying that for them. Well, you need the Lord to get you a new house, and maybe not. What I did is I begin to rest in the Lord. Bless you. Colossians 1:15-17. I want to read this out of the message. Very few of you would have that. So let me just listen to what he says. He says, we look at the sun and we see God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels. Everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and He holds it together right up to this moment. Wow. Do you understand? He's got this. See, sometimes I'll be pondering and I'll be talking with somebody and I'll bring up Job and it's like, oh, he's Job. Man, that boy's life went south quick. And there's this quiet shudder because it's like, man, I don't want to be anywhere near any of that type of... But you know, we forget about everybody else for some reason. You remember Joseph, Jacob's son, ended up in Egypt? Sold into slavery by his brothers. Sold out by Potiphar's wife, even though he never did anything wrong. He maintained his integrity through it all. She lied. In prison, he's slandered, and then he's forgotten about. If ever a world or a life had caved in, his life caved in. It was 20-some years of mess followed by mess followed by mess followed by mess. Or maybe we should consider Moses. His life is supernaturally spared. All the other Hebrew, they all died. But not him. See, he has a purpose. God is going to use him to lead his people out of Egypt. And then the next thing you know, this Egyptian's dead, and now he's on the run. And I can just see him sitting on a rock, watching the sheep, just thinking, man, how did this get so sideways? He knew God had a better plan for him, yet he also understood that in a fit of rage, he maybe messed everything up. God was going to use me up until I did this. Now, I don't know that's what he thought, but I've lived enough life to know how we think. Maybe you should consider Daniel. Arguably among the brightest and best of the children ever born out of Israel. I mean, in any generation, he was wise beyond his years. But he was born in a time of judgment and destruction. He was born in a time when the entire generation was being marched out of Jerusalem and into Babylon. He was literally taken into captivity. His city was destroyed. The temple is in ruins. And I just have to ask you, how is that fair? All this wonderful thing that God put inside of me, and it's all null now because we're carried off into captivity. It's not fair. Joseph's in prison. Moses is in the desert. Daniel's in chains. These are dark moments. I don't know how you find any hope in them. And being these people, how do you find hope? Who could have known that Joseph the prisoner was a single promotion from being Joseph the prime minister? Who would have thought that God was giving Moses 40 years in the wilderness, in the very desert he would soon lead these people through? Who could have imagined that Daniel the captive would soon be the king's counselor? See, friends, what I want you to get, what I want you to understand is God has made a business out of taking tragedy and turning it into triumph. He did it with Joseph. He did it with Daniel. And above all, he did it with Jesus. Heaven's perfect child was murdered on a hill. And I say murdered because the charges against him weren't real. There was no reason for him to have died. And the truth is, being of the lineage he was, the seed of man didn't live in him. Therefore, sin didn't live in him. And it is only sin that can give birth to death. He never should have died. He should still be on that cross waiting to die because he wasn't subject to death. Righteous men wept. Evil men danced. It wasn't right. David in Psalm 11, he asks this. He says, when all that is good falls apart, what can good people do? And God answered that question on that day with the declaration of a rumbling ground and a stone being rolled backwards. He reminded them, I am the Lord. I still sit on my throne and I still make decisions and I am still in control. I love the picture that's there. A Roman court finds him guilty. A Jewish court finds him guilty. Mankind had found him guilty. And the Lord said, nope, I'm going to overturn the verdict. And he did. Friends, I don't mean to be somber, and I guess the best way to show you is in the contrast. See, I want to encourage you that the fact is your Christmas may contain an interruption. Maybe something has already happened. Maybe something has come about that is going to make this Christmas for you a difficult one. It could be Cousin Eddie's on his way and just doesn't have cell service yet. So keep that good thought. What I want you to understand is it doesn't matter. Take heart, because God is still in his temple. The King of Kings came to overcome the world, and he did. He overcame the world, and today he sits on his throne, and today he's in control. He still makes princes out of prisoners and counselors out of captives. He still turns Sunday mornings from Friday afternoons. He did it then. He does it today. Grandpa Carl always used to say, Christmas is for kids, to a point of repetition. I was like, yeah, I get it. Christmas is for kids. But you know what? I didn't get it. We were going through Stroll in the Glow last night, and I got it.
Yeah.
Just for a moment, I saw it. I captured it. A depth of wisdom in something that I had never saw. Christmas is for kids. See, parents see crazy. Parents see all the stuff that has to be done. Parents see all they see Santa Claus, right? An ambiguity in and of itself, right? The truth that there is nobody who's going to buy all these presents, I've got to go buy them. Right? The truth has made me somber, and the truth has made me down to earth. And you know what? You ever looked in a kid's eyes? I looked in a kid's eyes last night. Just one kid. And I saw wonder. Just mass overload of joy. Everything was awesome. There were animals, there was cocoa, there was cake and candy and lights, and this was awesome. And I didn't see that in a single parent's eyes. Christmas is for kids. Adults are on stress overload and kids are on joy overload. Maybe sugar overload, but mostly joy overload. Friends, maybe it's time for us to start looking at Christmas through the eyes of kids. You did once. There was a time when the wonder and the joy of the season was there. Maybe it's time to find it again. See, the truth is, whatever comes, whatever is next, Jesus has it. He's got it. It's going to get sorted out. It's an old saying, if the Lord fails me now, it'll be the first time. And it's true. Man, I walked through some crazy stuff. Somehow, He's always sorted it out. And the more He sorts it out, the more I trust Him to sort it out. So I want to encourage you, take a little bit of time. See if you can't find the wonder of Christmas again, the joy of the Messiah again. Let some of the stress fall aside and just find the joy that's in Him. Father, I bless Your people today. I thank You for them. Father, I thank You for sending Your Son. We did not deserve Him, but the greatest gift of all time You gave us. I pray, Father, for my friends who are here. I pray, Lord, that You would help them to find Christmas. Find the joy and the wonder and the hope that's found in that little manger in Bethlehem. I speak life on Your people, Father. I pray, Father, I pray for all the things that need to be sorted out in their lives. Father, for those who just need You to intervene. Father, I pray You'd intervene quickly. Father, for those who just need encouragement and a friend. Father, I pray that the Paraclete would come. Father, I thank You for this people. And I pray, Father, You would increase them in knowledge and word and deed in Jesus' name. Amen.